So often we are begging to be seen. We are begging to be accepted. We are begging to be understood. We are begging to just be appreciated. So if some random person gives you that love or attention or appreciation right off the block or right off the street, you're gonna lap it up like it's some really good ice cream. We're at the mercy of other people. What their expectations are, what they need from us, what they want from us, what they desire from us, and we do it. And many times we're born and brought up into communities where that's just how we are. We're there to serve the needs of others. And while that is all great, we tend to lose ourselves in the process. And then we tend to chase happiness and fulfillment in the wrong ways. Friends, I have a question for you. What are you chasing after that you can't find it in yourself? And how can you give it to yourself? Hey, love, want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on the Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free, and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on money blocks, Karen Rockland on speaking your truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on women's health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neetha, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, BHUSHAN.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show. Hello, hello there, friends. I have a question for you. What is your relationship with your self-worth? That's a juicy one. Hi, welcome to the Brave Table. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your oasis, your destination to be all things just a little bit more brave in your actions, in your relationships, and in your life. And today, I wanted to start out by pulling one of my amazing cards from my card deck, as we usually start our solo casts. I am a beacon of love. As I grow to love and respect myself, I emanate love to everyone around me. Wow, this couldn't be more fitting for our episode today. Well, loves, we are talking about the love month and how we pour into ourselves. And, you know, this topic of self-love and this idea and concept around worth has got me thinking. And it's got me thinking in the ways that we sometimes chase happiness outwardly, outside of ourselves. And to be fair, I mean, we have a lot of things stacked against us. Our whole society is stacked on the way that we pour into others. If you are coming from cultural backgrounds, many times we are taught to put others' happiness before our own, and that our happiness is other people's happiness. While that is all true, and I grew up with that rhetoric as well, I think there are some things to dismantle. And let's just chop it up. While I spill the tea on this topic, the tea that I'm actually having today is a rose tea. I actually got this from one of my travels in Turkey not too long ago, actually a couple years ago, and I still have it. I like savor it, because rose is a heart opener and I really love it. So I'm glad we're just stirring the love pot here. But I want to get into it because it is fascinating sometimes when we are chasing happiness and the dangers of what seeking fulfillment does when we are looking for love in the wrong places. And while this is Love Month, I want to ask you, where have you chased after the wrong things? What is your relationship with your own worth? Where have you diminished yourself at the expense of yourself to please other people? And currently, what are you chasing after? Is it love? Is it romance? Is it to be seen? Is it to be accepted? To be appreciated? And do you love yourself? And this is why it's so wild. Sometimes these cards just give you what they need, huh? Or what you need at the moment. And I often really struggled with this question years ago. And, you know, this year marks 9 years of me. And this was in 2015. And we have pictures of this where I vowed to marry myself. And I was doing my solo travels around the world. And one of the initial stops that I went to was in Bali, You know, I was having my own eat, pray, love moment. And I just fell in love with culture, the people, not to mention everyone kind of looks like me because they're kind of mixed. You know, they have a little, they look like they're Filipino, but they could be mixed with like Indian and they have those like darker features. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I see my people everywhere. So I just felt so connected to, this was my very first time going. And I ended up marrying myself in the southern tip of Bali, southern tip of Uluwatu. Why? I know it sounds a little woo-woo, a little out there. And while I am all things spiritual, I was definitely in that phase of my life where I had put all of the expectations of love and I would base it on other people. I would base it on my external need for validation. And for me, it started with making the ghost of my parents proud, making my parents proud. They, you know, passed early on, and that was kind of my mantra. I wanted to do everything that I could. And so I would chase after the accolades. I would chase after all of the ways to, you know, hustle and make money. And while I became really good at that, it was often at the expense of myself. I would chase after people that didn't really love me in the way I should have been loved. And I would chase after those toxic relationships. I didn't know they were toxic until they were. And oftentimes we don't know that they're toxic until there's a red flag that reveals itself and then another red flag that reveals itself. And then the red flags keep coming up. And now after, you know, being in the world of coaching and mentoring and training and teaching over the last 8 years and several iterations of that, I've noticed that so often we are begging to be seen. We are begging to be accepted. We are begging to be understood. We are begging to just be appreciated. So if some random person gives you that love or attention or appreciation right off the block or right off the street, you're going to lap it up like it's some really good ice cream. And I don't mean this in a bad way because this has also happened to me as well. But when you are so full of love of yourself, you are not needing any external forces to validate who you are or validate your worth. You are whole, you are complete, and you are sovereign, and you are strong in your own beautiful, radiant light. And this I never thought was possible, which was why when I started to do the work, and of course I worked with so many different healers and shamans even, and psychologists and coaches and mentors and advisors at the time. And this was right before I had my trip. And I said, I really want to commemorate something for me. So I remember I was traveling to Bali, to Denpasar, and I was in some of the sacred temples. If you've never been to Indonesia, and not specifically even just Bali, but throughout Indonesia, it is just so beautiful. But on the island of Bali, traditionally they are Hindu. And it's a very different kind of Hinduism practice in Bali. It's very spiritual. It's very reverent to rituals. It's not really based on, you know, gods per se, but there is so much reverence to ancient rituals. And so what I wanted was, and you know, years later, Ajit and I did this when we had our own sacred union. We didn't want to call it a marriage at first. And then things changed when we had kids. But we called it a sacred union because we wanted to recognize that two wholes were still being two wholes coming together. And before, when I was actually marrying myself, I wanted to create some of these rituals that I had seen throughout my travels across Bali. So, and they were, you know, elements that represented the five elements of, you know, the earth, beauty, so flowers, fire. So, you know, releasing what no longer aligned with me and really what I was stepping into. It was done on the southern shores of Uluwatu, so the southernmost tip of Bali. And it was done right next to where this like very famous monkey temple is. So there were no monkeys that, you know, climbed up on top of me, but I was kind of scared that they were. But it was just such a beautiful and really special time of paying homage back to my own worth, that I was not going to settle for less, not going to settle for less in my relationships, that I had nothing to prove, and that all I ever needed, and I was okay with this, but all I ever needed was myself, and that I was no longer chasing after love. I was love. I was no longer chasing after happiness because I was already content. And oftentimes we get stuck. And I still even have that notebook where I wrote my vows in that, but it was just a reminder of how many times we're at the mercy of other people, what their expectations are, what they need from us, what they want from us, what they desire from us. And we do it. We do it. And many times we're born and brought up into communities where that's just how we are. We're there to serve the needs of others. And while that is all great, we tend to lose ourselves in the process. And then we tend to chase happiness and fulfillment in the wrong ways. That if I don't do this, my grandmother is not going to accept me. If I don't do that, take on the family business, I'm not going to experience love from my elders. So how can we first be true and really honor ourselves? And maybe you don't have to get married and have a self-marriage at the southern tip of Bali or in Uluwatu, but what can happen when you are so full of love yourself that it's just oozing out of your pores? And when we are in full sovereignty and in love with ourselves, then we are complete. We don't need anyone to complete us. We are complete in our own essence. And we are not chasing after the things, the projects, the people, the opportunities to light us up. We are all of those things. And when we are all of those things, we're actually magnetizing that to which we desire. So we're magnetizing our deepest desires. We're manifesting our deepest desires because we are already attuning to a higher frequency. We are already attuning to that higher energy because we are already it. We're not coming from a place of lack. We're not coming from a place of scarcity. We're not coming from a place of, I don't feel seen, I don't feel loved, because we are love and we're beaming it. So not too long ago, I did this little experiment for myself because I noticed how while we were in our trip over the holidays, we were in India with our family members. And I just noticed how it was a lot harder and it was a lot harder to be off of our screens. Well, one, you know, the internet didn't work half the time. And that's because we were just in remote parts of India. And that's okay. It was a very humbling experience. But also, we had two little toddlers, two toddlers who, you know, they know that when we're traveling, we are loose with our devices. And I will give them an iPad on a plane because I do not want them to scream and, you know, all of these things. And that's a parental choice that I've made. And for the sake of everybody else on the plane, I think it calms everybody's nervous system. So that's one thing we have done. But also then we started doing it at restaurants because we wanted to have a moment to ourselves. Parents, you know this. It can be tough. And then when we got back, my kids felt like it was just normal to have screens, you know, whenever they wanted, because they had 5 weeks of this because we were just traveling and bouncing back from, you know, place to place. You know, these are the cons of traveling for a really long time. The pros were amazing. They got to, you know, hang out and meet their cousins and meet their family. And I wanted to do an experiment because I had visited some friends who, you know, their businesses are not online. They are not online and they made a conscious choice. Their kids are the same age as Ari and they made a conscious choice not to be on social. Now, for good or bad, sure, that was a decision that was good for their house. And they said, you know, we have noticed that we were just so much happier. We had less fights in the house and we were more present with our children and they don't want it. And when we go out to restaurants, they're doing coloring books and they're not on screens. And they asked, they're like, well, how is it with you? Because you guys have to do, you know, work from your devices. How is that? And I'm like, you know what? I actually don't know. I have thought of doing a digital detox, but I haven't really ever. And this was, I was very curious about this experiment. I was very curious. And I was like, I wonder what it would look like for me to even just take a break from it and do a social detox. So I took a social detox for 2 weeks. I thought I was going to have trouble with it. And here's the thing, the caveat was my team would still post, you know, certain things, certain stories, certain things that we needed for podcasts, for things that we were promoting, etc. But I wouldn't be going on to check DMs, to respond to anything. And I didn't even make this, you know, live to the public. I was just like, I am going to just do this for myself. And I think also because I was in just depletion mode coming back, I think it was so good for my nervous system to just say, hey, I'm going to take a slow start for January. I'm going to be offline. I mean, for myself. Nobody would actually know this, but you know, this was for myself. And here's what I actually found out. And this is how I want to link this back to, you know, the dangers that we actually face when we are more aware to these things. So I was more present on just everyday kind of life things. I wasn't trying to do so many things. I wasn't in this like chase of like, oh, I have to respond to this person and this person and this person. And I was way more embodied, meaning that I was able to feel more and I was so much more connected to my body. I had more time for my own practices and rituals. I honestly had more steps in my day. And this was because I was, you know, way more focused and in more of my flow, that it took less energy. I was way more productive. I was way more efficient. So I was finishing my day even sooner. I took up some new dance classes online. I met with friends in person that I wanted to see. And I was able to do more of these impromptu hangs because I was so present. I was less anxious on having to do, you know, things, because I was not so stimulated from the phone. And it was so good for my mental health. I was playing more with my kids. And it just reminded me of the dangers. And there are real dangers. While my kids are younger, I know some of you listening to this, we're raising humans. And it dawned on me that in 10 years, Ari's going to be 15. And if we're not setting the initial building blocks here now for self-love over anything else, because we've already kind of run into certain situations, which I don't think it's fair to share here. But what I will share is, you know, this idea of FOMO. The kids have it. They want to do exactly what their friends are doing without any cost or reverence to themselves. And it's already happening. They don't want to miss the birthday party. They want to go to the other kid's birthday party too. And why weren't they invited? And you know, all of these things that happen in their little worlds. And those things are already starting. And this is in, you know, this, he's 5. And I know we feel it too when we see somebody's stories and we see, you know, a thing and we see a lavish vacation and we're like, gosh, I wish I could go and I can't. Or I wish I could do that right now. Wow, they just can pick up and go whenever they feel like it. And while it's inspiring and it may spark motivation, it can also spark jealousy. It can also spark a lack of just not good enoughness, a lack of worthiness. Why wasn't I invited to the party? As adults as well. I mean, it's no wonder that the CDC reported that US teen girls are experiencing increased sadness, that 3 in 5 US teen girls feel persistently sad or hopeless. This was according to new CDC data in 2021, this was double that of boys, representing nearly a 60% increase and the highest level reported over the last decade. Well, when did social media become popular? When did Facebook become popular? This was like, they started doing this since 2011. So while all teens reported increasing mental health challenges, this is from the cdc.gov report, experiences of violence, suicidal thoughts, ideations, and behaviors in girls fared worse than boys. This was shocking. 1 in 3 seriously considered attempting suicide. This is up nearly 60% from a decade ago. You guys, 1 in 3 as a teenager, like going back into my teens, I mean, I know that there was a lot of things, but I mean, the struggle with mental health and bullying was a thing. But I think what our younger people and our kids out there are experiencing, especially with social media, if we are experiencing it, that's why I'm going back to when this family, when they asked us, how do you guys deal with it? Because we don't want our kids to be outcasts with social media, but do they, you know, want to use your phones? What is your relationship with screen time with them? And I had to actually take a reflection and I said, you know what? Actually, yeah. Every time I am posting to something or using my phone to reply to something, they see it. And now my son knew when we were traveling wherever we were, he's like, "Mama, I'm going to take the picture." Because he always knew I was taking the picture. So he wanted to take the picture. He wanted to take the video. And by the way, he takes really good pictures and videos. So that definitely is a good skill set. But at the same time, I had to be mindful of what I was just scrolling on. I had to be mindful of, okay, putting away my phone. But I know we are all privy to this as parents or as just humans wanting to do better. For the first time, my long-awaited 3-day retreat is finally here. Imagine pouring into yourself as you deserve in a special oasis so that you feel so nourished over the course of 3 days of expansion, rejuvenation, and soul nurturing time. Step away from your day-to-day hustle and chaos and step into a portal to strengthen your inner light with me on the grounds of Boone, North Carolina, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar's Art of Living Center, April 26th through the 28th. There's still shared rooms available. Don't wait. Say yes to you today. Now, back to the show. And so going back to this idea and this notion of what our big dangers are. These are the big dangers that parents today are facing. And, you know, our own mental health. And I honestly saw a vast difference. I shared with you my findings. And here's what I concluded. And, you know, these are 5 dangers. The first one is we don't value our own worth. We rather FOMO, so fear of missing out, which by the way, I kind of want to go to everything too. My son's kind of like me. He's like, "I don't want to miss the party." But then we say yes to things that we don't want to say yes to because of FOMO. We do things because of FOMO. We don't value our own worth because of FOMO. We, number two, put other people's opinions over our own. We put what will they think over our own. And that begins to dictate. And I remember, you know, in my teens, my early 20s, and one of the reasons why I kept it a secret for so long that I was in a very toxic and abusive relationship was, what will people think? Other people's opinions over our own. And it starts to dictate. And the fact that if you are single right now, what will other people think? Why you're not getting married? Why you're divorced? Why you can't keep a relationship? Why you can't get a person? I mean, people can be mean and they're projecting their own realities, which is not necessarily true. They're projecting their own missteps, their own failures, their own hurts, their own fears, and it might not be true. And then 3, because we may want and chase the love so much, we might be chasing these things, we might be going after these things, that we will attract toxic partners and people into our lives to teach us how to love ourselves. Case in point, hi, been there, done that. And that was brutal. I remember, I mean, I'm grateful for it now, but that was a brutal awakening. It was a brutal fall. And I just remember one time even thinking, how come I'm not lovable? And I remember just like getting down to my knees and just tears started to roll down my face. And I looked at the mirror and I'm like, why am I not lovable? I just want somebody to love me. And that's when I realized, oh my gosh, Neetha, you don't love yourself. You have to pour into you. Stop searching for it outside. You are complete. You are whole. You are radiant. You are loved. And that's when it just finally landed. And if anybody needs this prayer right now, if anybody needs this mantra, please use it as your own, because we are the only ones that can pour it into ourselves. And if we have littles, if we are putting our needs last, if you are the mama that wants to be the martyr in your family, but you're putting your needs last, meaning that your children are watching you put your needs last, watching you be the one that doesn't shower for days, or, you know, those memes that we see. And I've been there as well. We got to take care of ourselves. No one's going to do it for us. And it's now why it's like even instilling those values in our children. And now it's every day I have these talks and I share this with my kids. We share our mission statement. You know, the NOALCA mission statement is, we are bold, we are brave, we are beautiful, we are loved, and we can do hard things. We can. And number 3, I mean, we already talked about attracting certain toxic partners and people into our lives, but number 4, we put ourselves in less than worthy groups. You know, the ones where they're kind of clicky, they're kind of exclusive, they're not as open or warm or welcoming. And why? How does it make you feel? Does it elevate you in some way? What are you chasing after? And is it just to be accepted, to be in the cool crowd? And maybe some of the things I might share might be triggering for some people, because maybe you're like, Neetha, that's all I ever wanted was to be accepted. Well, listen, you're listening to this right now. You're watching this right now. And I want you to know two things. You are 100% magical, and you do not need anybody to tell you that. And if this is what you needed to hear today, you are just doing the best that you can. And the last thing that I wanted to add to this is number five, it can spiral, causing more mental health issues, more self-isolation, more depression, suicidal ideation, and more. And these are the dangers of seeking fulfillment in the wrong places when we are chasing after. It's like, you know, and I grew up in the city of Chicago, and I went to, you know, I wouldn't say it's an inner city school, but it is in the city. And it was one of those schools, shout out Lane Tech, where you had to test into, you know, to get into. So it was a really good school. You know, one of the top in the state, I imagine. I'm sure there's probably some that are even better than that now or in Chicago. However, there were the gangs. There were gangs. We lived in Chicago. We lived in Chi-Town. There were gangs. There were rivalries. And, you know, there were those. And I remember vividly having a friend who, she didn't really have the best upbringing, came from a broken home. And boy, she loved the attention from, you know, the guys that were in these gangs. And, you know, she ran into a couple of instances while dating people that were from kind of a, you know, the different block. And it was not healthy. It was dangerous. But what was she looking for? Her parents had split up early on. Her mom would work 12 to 16 hour days. She was a latchkey kid. And she wanted the love of her dad. And so she got into the wrong crowd. And, you know, we see this, it's kind of like the theme in any sort of, and honestly, every parent's nightmare, but, you know, it's the theme in any of these shows. And my question is, what are you chasing after that you can't find it in yourself? And how can you give it to yourself? And maybe it's just taking that oath today, saying what you are going to vow to. What are you going to focus on? How are you going to pour into you? And it could be just one statement by saying, I accept me. I love myself wholeheartedly, unapologetically. And maybe that's all you need. But I'm so, so glad I can share this with you, because I think it is something that I would highly recommend if you haven't taken a social detox, a social media detox. And if you don't need to use your phone for work or business, I know some of us have to, but I'm okay with posting and ghosting. And there will be times where I will read your DMs and I will respond back to you. And there will be times where I'm, you know, sharing and replying back to your comments. But there will be times where I am not going to just be a slave to my phone, because I have seen the other side. Because I did this experiment and it was only 2 weeks. My goal is I want to do for a month. I don't know if I can do a full month, but maybe baby steps. Maybe I'll do 3 weeks. But I think that this is an open invitation for whomever needs this, and to check and to have that awareness to say, ooh, is this right for me? And what are we chasing that we can't find within ourselves first, or the closest people to us? And are we giving our power away because we don't feel worthy in our skin? All right, loves, if this episode resonated with you, if you loved it, if you found value in it, please tag us on social at Neetha Bhushan and tell us your story at the Brave Table. If you are taking a social detox after this, no pressure. Share your 5-star review on iTunes and click the follow button. It really helps us grow the show even more. And we have a special gift for you now. For this month, when you actually screenshot your review and send it to support@globalgrit.co, that is support@globalgrit.co, we will be sending you a very juicy free gift for this month. All right, friends, take care, and I will talk to you soon. And don't forget to be just a little bit more brave.